So welcome, everybody. I'm Michael Hart. I'm the principal and founder of DrMichaelHart.com. And as many of you know, once in a while, I like to do these interviews with people that are doing some really cool things out in our community. So today, we have the honor of speaking with Beth Lawrence. Beth is a certified speech and language pathologist, and she received her Master of Arts from Northwestern 1994. She has, as she described, a very exciting career in speech and language pathology, and she's been working with kids of all ages as well as the adult population. Now, since 1990, Beth has been running her own clinic in Baltimore, which is called the Lawrence Speech Pathology Services, and in that capacity, she assesses and works with kids who have language-based learning difficulties. Now, Beth also enjoys running workshops with a variety of topics, including social pragmatics, vocabulary acquisition, reading comprehension, memory strategies, and writing. However, what we're really going to spend our time on today is a very cool project that she and her partner, Dina Seifert, have been working on for quite some time, where they've spent considerable energy developing these educational software tools as well as an assessment tool that, quite frankly, has been starting to get a lot of buzz. So today is all about learning more from Beth about what are these tools, what do they do, how are they helping our kids, and how can we get the word out there and let people know that these things are available for them. So welcome, Beth. Thank you very much for taking your time today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Hart. This is a privilege for us. Thank you so much.
You bet. Just call me Michael. No big deal.
Michael.
So let's kind of dive into this because, you know, this is quite interesting. You're kind of a rare bird in that you've been in this clinical world for a very long time, and now you have jumped into this entrepreneurial world, which is, as you're going to be able to explain to us, not an easy thing to do. So I wanted to just ask you in the beginning, just tell us your story. I mean, what prompted that? What was your passion that took you in this direction? And how did that all come about?
Sure. Well, we've written a 40-page chapter in a book by David Edeburn on educational technology in special education.
Cool.
We spill all of everything that we've learned in this four-year journey, we have in that chapter. For anyone who's interested in pursuing it, there's just all kinds of great lessons that we've learned along the way. So that's one. It would take a long time to go into all those details.
Sure.
But another thing that we've been doing is a weekly blog post, guest bloggers for Market Week, which is Education Week's blog post. And so there we also share about the entrepreneurial educational technology piece of it.
So let me interrupt you for a second. How do people get to that? What's the, you have the URL off the top of your head?
It's marketbrief.com.
Okay, great. All right.
And so the quick answer about why we did that, I was perfectly happy, and Dina Seifert we both had our independent private practices, and we were perfectly happy working with students one-on-one, small groups, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, the answer is that there were two specific students 4 years ago who were not, had the tools been available for me to purchase, I would have absolutely purchased them and we would have moved right along and I would have continued doing what I had been doing. But the situation was not that way. And these two students really needed something unique. And then when I developed the methods, I realized that the majority of my students really benefited from these. And then colleagues found out. And then Dina Seifert and I, kind of our story is we'd been colleagues for a long time. And then we ran into one another again at a technology workshop on how to use the iPad. The iPad had just been out for about a year, and how to use that in our clinical practices. So our famous last words to one another were, how hard could it be to build an app? Yes, it's funny. So here we are 4 years later, and we've learned a lot.
Cool. All right, well, let's go ahead and drill down into this, and let's talk specifically about one of the tools you created, which is Infocabulary Pro. Am I saying that correctly?
Infocabulary.
Mm-hmm. Infocabulary. Okay, great. So tell us a little bit about that product and how, what does it do? How do you use it? And I think we're going to see if we can maybe even do a live demo a little bit.
Okay. That'd be great. Well, a little bit of background about that. I was working with an eighth grade girl, and she had the kind of typical word list that she needed to memorize so that she could pass her weekly vocabulary quiz. And I'll never forget, these were words from Animal Farm, and one of them was prominent. And so I used the 20 years of tools that I had in my toolbox as a speech-language pathologist, and nothing worked. And so it actually was a pretty frustrating, it was frustrating for her, frustrating for me, not very satisfying. Lots and lots of work went in, and then a week later, the word that started this whole infocabulary method was the word prominent. So I had used all of these different tools. We used graphic organizers, examples. I had her draw pictures. And when I would come into her school, I'm very tall. And so the example that I must have shared with her was, you know, I'm prominent. When I walk in, you know, you can tell that I've just come because I'm very tall. A week later, the one and only antonym that she could provide me for the word prominent was short. And I said, this is not going to work. That's when I created the method for infocabulary. And so Dina and I were able to bootstrap, which is a business lingo term for we paid out of our own coffers, out of our own funding, to create an iPad app. And then we were lucky enough to be able to present on our methods at a variety of conferences, including the National Speech Hearing Association conference. So it was really, really exciting. We got to start teaching people how to use this really unique method that we'd come up with. And since then, we have gotten the business savvy, and we've gotten funding, and we now have Infocabulary Pro, which I'd love to show you. I'd love to show that to you.
Sure. Let's try that. Let's do it.
Great.
Okay, excellent. So we've got the beginning of the demo up. Why don't you walk us through, and then let's just talk about some of the key features and functionalities so that people can get a really good sense for the tool.
Absolutely, I'd love to. Here's our demo, and people have access to this for 24 hours at a time. We added a gamification component, and the student is a climber who is trying to traverse a mountain, and we have multiple mountains. Once they master one, they move on to the next one. In terms of the vocabulary learning, there are two components. One is the base camp. And it's here where the students are learning 10 words at a time. So they go through the semantic reasoning process for 10 words, and then they earn a carabiner, which they can then use to save themselves if they get a word wrong in the climb mode,
okay,
which is assessment. Yeah, that's the assessment mode.
Okay.
So I'll take you to a lesson in the base camp. So here we have the word compliant. Now, what you might notice right away is that there are a bunch of pictures, but there's no definition. And we did that on purpose. Most programs attach a definition to a word. And so the immediate modality that the student is using to learn a new concept is language. And so we are using a different pathway. We ask students to go through the semantic reasoning process, and that is, here are multiple exemplars, here's some examples of what this word compliant means. And you are to use your eyes and use your critical thinking skills to figure out for yourself what compliant means. And it's so fun to do this with students. You know, the ones who are really good at this process are so fast. Oh, I know what that means. I figured it out. So if they can do it visually, that's wonderful. It's great to have the students go through and notice the different details in the picture. So what do you see happening here? What's happening here? Lots of those critical thinking kinds of questions. So, and then why do you think they all go together? What's the common thread? And if students need additional scaffolding, we have built in with every picture, there is a caption that's both written and audio.
I'm doing what I'm told.
So the student has to go through this process of listening to the captions.
I broke the law back there, but I'm obeying now. It's a school rule that students need to line up before getting on the bus. I'm doing what my doctor ordered. I'm following the rules. We are waiting for the light to change.
And it's not until that process has been gone, you know, that the teacher or the student has gone through this process, that they're able to move on to actually seeing the definition. So the teacher can ask the student to look at all of the captions. And this is great for going through the captions and trying to find the key words that will help the student create the definition. So doing what you're told, obeying a school rule, doing what you're ordered. So those are the kinds of words that really help the student come up with the definition, and then they get the definition.
Compliant, an attitude of agreeing to follow rules and requests.
And then they can go into the climb mode, and this is what the climb mode looks like. Here the students see four images and four words.
Prominent.
Emotion. Imperfect. Reckless.
And again, they're going through this process of what do these pictures have in common, and then they're then we're going on and adding the lexical component. So can you identify which single word goes with all of the images?
Prominent, standing out in an environment or society, noticeable characteristics.
Wedged, sulky, smithereens,
respectable.
So if the student gets it wrong, and we've added this metacognitive feature of, oh, I know it's not respectable, so then they can hide that. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
And I know it's not sulky. Oh, it must be wedged.
Wedged. Describe something that is stuck between two things.
If
considerable,
barbarous,
sly, apprenticeship.
If they get the word wrong,
that wasn't it.
They get to see what the definition is, and then they get to try again. And because I had one carabiner, I won't fall down the mountain.
So falling down the mountain means that You revert back to an earlier part of the program, or
climb. Exactly. So if the student were here, you know, if the student were here and engaged in a climb, their goal would be to make it up to here. If they got each climb has a different number of carabiners, that basically a different number of words that they can get wrong depending on the complexity of that particular climb. So if you get three wrong on a two carabiner climb, you would go back a level.
Okay.
But if you have a rope, then that will prevent you from going back a level. So there's a couple of additional features in there that help kids to make it more fun.
So if they go back a level, is it the same list of vocabulary words or is it different?
No, it'll end up being different words for that particular climb. But this would be a great time to share with you how teachers or parents can assign words to students.
Okay.
So let's say I have a fifth grade student or a fifth grade class. I roster all of my students in my class, and they're all assigned to my fifth grade class. In any given classroom, there may be some students who are able to learn or would need to be challenged at a sixth or seventh or even an eighth grade level. And so you can do that for those students. And then there might be students who, for a variety of reasons, either a learning disability, a language disorder, or someone who's learning English, we could put them on a third grade level. And they don't know that. So all the students are seeing the same mountain. They're all making the same kind of progress. Everyone has an individualized list of words that they're working on. Now, if the teacher, let's say a teacher is teaching the giver, she can go into the classroom list and assign words. We have probably 65 words that are those good, juicy, nuanced vocabulary words that students really need to know in order to comprehend. We have, say, 65 of those words in that particular novel, and she could just assign all of those words to all of her students, or she can go in and only assign part of them, you know, maybe the lower level ones to certain students. So all of our words in our system are correlated with literature titles and category labels. So someone maybe in second grade might be doing an activity on emotion words, and she could call up all of the words that we have in our system that are emotion words.
That's very cool.
Thanks. Yeah, that's one component that we learned early on, because we had early users of our iPad apps, we were able to learn really what it is that teachers needed, and that was a big feature that they like.
And at this stage, teachers are, if I understood you correctly from our offline discussions, if a teacher has a particular book and they're using your tool and they would like to add vocabulary words specific to that book and it's not already in your list, then they can contact your company and you'll have somebody upload those words.
Absolutely. We take customer service is really, really important to us. We have a whole team of people working on this project, and we'll just continue to add words. We will continue to add books. We have about 100 books now and about 2,000 vocabulary words, and we are just constantly adding to it. And we have a pretty fast turnaround time, and we're committed to keeping that. So if teachers can get us a book list or a novel within a couple of weeks, we can have those words into the system.
Mm-hmm. So if I were to summarize one of the key points from my own perspective, because I've been having to do a lot of research in neuroscience, really what's going on here is that you are really teaching the kids what's called deep reading, which means that you're going beyond just surface understanding of the words, and you're actually even prompting other parts of the brain, like the visual component that you see here, to help create a stronger connection and a stronger memory based on a lot of other different features that allows the child to really embed it in a way that then allows them to retrieve it from memory as they need to. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what we love about this, we think that's why it's working so well for a lot of students. Is not everybody learns with that verbal, and so we're really going about this neurologically in a really different way. Mm-hmm. We're super excited about it, and love that we know more about the brain and that something like this is needed.
And another key thing is that parents, teachers, and specialists can use this tool.
Absolutely, yes. We have different subscription models that they can check out on infocabulary.com. So parents, teachers, schools, school districts, absolutely.
Okay, that's very cool. What else should you tell us before we move on to some other questions?
Yeah, I think one of the, kind of piggybacking on what you were saying earlier about the difference and the visuals and the ability to retrieve, probably one of the most exciting stories I've heard from a fifth grade teacher was that she was reading aloud from Number the Stars to her group of students, and three boys literally like slid out of their seats. They were so excited, you know, jumping out of their seats trying to let her know that they had learned a particular vocabulary word on Infocabulary the night before. So this is not a tool that needs to be done with direct instruction. We do have some research that's been done on direct instruction that found statistically very significant gains that were made by the students who had learned Infocabulary versus the teacher's best instruction. So there was a study that was done that showed that with that direct instruction, but we have students who are using this for homework, and this was just such an awesome story to have these kids. And then each of the three students remembered a different image, and then they were able to elaborate and apply their newfound deep understanding of the word to the new context of the story. So that's just the exciting part for us, is hearing these testimonials of kids not only remembering, but then applying and recognizing in the moment. And this particular teacher shared that she's had no other, she's like, usually vocabulary is a separate thing and then reading is over here, and kids don't tend to get as excited about vocabulary in literature, and yet that's happening here. So,
yeah. It's meaningful now. It's not just a list of words.
Correct.
You don't even have to spell them. You just need to know what they are.
Exactly.
At that point, anyway.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's super cool. I've got a couple more questions for you. Let's move on to those.
Okay.
And we'll make sure everybody has the information they need. So thank you so much for the demo.
Awesome. Great. Thanks.
So next question is, I understand why you're looking at all this, working on all these business skills needed to scale a company, including preparing for business planning and competitions and all that stuff. Somehow you were able to create a norm reference assessment tool called the test of semantic reasoning, correct?
Correct.
So how did that come about? I mean, that's a pretty amazing accomplishment.
Yeah. And we were informed, oh, this is a 4 to 5 year process, and it was from idea to publication, it was about 2 years.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So it just, the data, it is norm referenced, which is great. So why did we bother doing that? Here's why. As a speech and language pathologist, when we want to assess a student's vocabulary, there's kind of two general ways that we look at vocabulary. The two general vocabulary areas are breadth of understanding of words and depth of understanding of words. And so breadth is very important, actually. It's highly linked with decoding skills. Mm-hmm. And the depth is really connected and correlated highly with comprehension skills. Mm-hmm. And so you really need, when you're doing an assessment on a student, a psychologist is doing a psychoeducational assessment, or a speech-language pathologist is doing a full language eval, it's really important to look at both. And so the tools that were out there, and again, this is very similar to, I was very happy in my private practice. It's not like I was like, I need to make an assessment tool. That was not part of it. It really was the breadth of vocabulary tools that are out there make some assumptions. So a lot of them are, the task is, here are four pictures, point to the one picture that represents evenly. Well, if you don't have that background knowledge, if you don't have that, and that one picture, if you don't have that experiential, you know, understanding or that depth of understanding, you might miss that. You might miss that one. And then looking at depth of vocabulary, the majority of the tools that are out there really require expressive language skills. So students have to, if they struggle with word retrieval, the task might be provide an antonym, like my student would have bombed that. So provide an antonym or provide a synonym, or give me a definition. Well, definitions are one of the hardest expressive language tasks that are out there because for a variety of reasons, categorical thinking. And so what the game mode of InVocabulary does is ask students to demonstrate that they understand a word, a concept in depth, but there's no expressive language component. So that was kind of what was that idea of that possibility of a vocabulary test was percolating. And then I was at a conference and ran into, every step of the way, this has been paved with meeting the right people at the right time, doors opening, walking through them. And so really, it's just been an amazing journey with support from really prominent researchers and such as yourself and in the areas of dyslexia and language-based learning issues, speech and language education, you know, regular education. And so it was a chance meeting with a psychometrician. And he was very, very impressed and suggested that we get in touch with an academic therapy publishing company. We proceeded. They got the vision of what we were trying to do. And then the norms that were that they came up with on 1,100 students were wonderful. So they fell really nicely into place. The tool is for 7-year-old students to 17-11. And it correlated really highly. So poor performance on the test of semantic reasoning correlated highly with students who had language disorders or language-based learning disabilities.
Okay, so that's quite something. I mean, that's very, very fast. That's pretty amazing. Yeah, that you did that. So then the TOSR is really psychologists, speech and language pathologists, other learning specialists, or what? Okay. Mm-hmm. So yes. Your comfort level is that there's the ability for these other different types of professionals to be able to implement this test. And,
correct.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's be a little bit more specific about where people can find more information about your tools. What I'm going to try to do is I'm going to, first of all, it'll be on the landing page and the watch page for people who would like to watch this. But also I want to make sure that I put it up on our screen as well, so when people are listening, they can understand exactly where to go to get more information. So what do you want people to know about where to go look?
You can find InVocabulary Pro at INFER. So that's what we're doing. We're asking students to infer information. Mm-hmm. And then to make it cool and ed-techy, we just lopped off the VO in vocabulary and smushed vocabulary onto infer. So it's infercabulary.com. So I just gave you a mnemonic device for remembering our web address. It's www.infercabulary.com. And everything you need is there. There's the demo that I just showed. There's pricing information. We have great tools and tips. There has been some independent research that's been done, which is great, at the University of Virginia. So there's a white paper that's pending. That showed significant score differences on quizzes the weeks that students used InfoCabulary. So all of that data is on there, information about semantic reasoning, really anything you need. And you can just sign up if it's a product that you think will meet your students' needs or your children's needs.
Great. And TOSR?
Test of Semantic Reasoning is available at Academic Therapy Publishing. So if you just type in TOSR into your Google, that should bring you right to Academic Therapy Publishing. And I know that there will be other distributors joining. That just was released in November.
Great.
So.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Now, my hope and dream is that from this interview and from the other interviews that you do and the other talking that you do, there are people who are going to have specific questions. They're going to want to be able to speak to you directly.
Great.
So how would you like them to contact you in a direct way so that they can ask specific questions, get specific answers from them?
Perfect. So it's if you remember infercabulary.com, just put Beth at in front of that.
Okay.
Beth at infercabulary.com. And I'd be able to answer any questions if,
Okay. And that should be, I should be able to put that up on the screen.
Great.
So then the final question, because I think you covered a lot of ground really, really nicely and very, very eloquently. How can we most effectively help you get the word out? What can we do to help you expand your listening public so they can really understand, or they can learn more about where all this really great stuff is? Because we are really aching for tools like you've created. So how can we help you get the word out? What can we do for you?
Well, this is a fantastic start, and Dina and I are really, really appreciative. Just having anyone who has the background that you have, that your listeners have, is just super, super helpful. Being able to kind of lend your opinions and your thoughts, and another piece is that we're very, very flexible, and we want, like I said before, we are going to continue to learn through this process. We want to make things better. Mm-hmm. So anyone, who is a subscriber of yours, if they have opportunities for us to speak or present, that's what 2017 is going to be all about. We are going to be at so many conferences and podcast interviews, video interviews, any opportunity really to get the word out. This is just one of those tools that it's been a little bit frustrating in 2016 just because we're so local and nobody knew because we, as you're growing a business, there's only so far, your money has to go to the product development. And now we're in this new amazing time where it's time to let people know about us. So any assistance in that area, we would be just super, super grateful.
And I'm very hopeful, too, that the EdWeek column that you do or the blog post that you do for EdWeek, and that's a pretty broad reach. So I'm really hopeful that that's going to open a lot of doors for you as well, as you say.
Wonderful. Yeah, we've definitely, our Twitter account has definitely increased since then because they post that on Twitter. And so our Twitter account is at com, C-O-M-M, aptitude, A-P-P-T-I-T-U-D-E. So that's the name of our company. InfoCabulary is our product.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, listen, if there's nothing else you'd like to add at this moment, then I just want to say thank you so much because I know you're just mega busy, and I'm really appreciative that you give us this time today. So I just want to thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This has been wonderful and a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to questions and the questions and answers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening in today. And please feel free to share this with whomever you'd like. We'd love to be able to spread the word as far and as wide as we possibly can. So once again, thank you. And we'll be talking with you soon.
Thank you.